Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the TRX Procast, your go-to podcast for all things fitness. I'm your host, Nathan DiRosario, and today we have a special guest joining us, Jolene Morris, a seasoned fitness expert who has dedicated her career to unlocking the transformative power of Pilates and TRX suspension training. Jolene brings a wealth of knowledge and experience to the table with a passion for helping individuals achieve their fitness goals and cultivate a lifelong commitment to health and wellness. In this episode, we dive deep into the world of Pilates and TRX, exploring the synergies between these two dynamic forms of exercise and their profound impact on longevity and active living. Jolie shares insights into her personal journey, revealing what initially drew her to fitness and how Pilates became a cornerstone of her own practice. We'll also uncover the unique benefits of suspension training and its integration with Pilates, providing listeners with valuable insights into how these modalities can complement each other to enhance overall fitness and well-being. Throughout our conversation, Jolie sheds light on the importance of Pilates for longevity and maintaining activity over the years, highlighting its transformative effects on both the body and mind. From debunking myths to sharing success stories, this episode is packed with practical tips and expert advice for anyone looking to embark on their fitness journey or take their workouts to the next level. So, whether you're a seasoned fitness enthusiast or someone curious about the power of Pilates and TRX, join us as we explore the intersection of movement, strength, and longevity with the insightful Jolie Morris. Get ready to be inspired and motivated to unlock your full potential and embrace a lifestyle of health and vitality. Welcome to the TRX Procast.
Okay, wonderful. So I'm Jolie Morris. It always feels so weird saying your full name. So I'm Jolie. I'm based in London, from London, live in London, and I am a Pilates coach as well as TRX trainer, yoga coach, and also personal trainer. I work in a studio in a gym called BXR, where I'm head of mobility there. So I look after all things Pilates, yoga, and TRX. And then aside of that, I work for an audio app called With You. I'm part of the movement team, which is on Sky TV. So I'm the Pilates coach for that. So work with clients around London. So quite busy with everything that I do.
Sounds very busy. And let's talk about your journey into fitness. So how did it start? What was your passion to start with?
It was actually dancing. So
Okay.
we go way back to little baby Jolie. She wanted to be a dancer. She loved dancing, but I was actually really shy as a kid, which people now are a little bit shocked about. But I was super shy and I started dance classes when I was small and it brought me out my shell. So this is the start of my movement journey. That's how I came into the person that I was and it's how I expressed myself. So as soon as I started moving, I become confident. But
Okay.
if you spoke to me, I was super shy. So then at 18, I went to professional dance school, and that was the only thing I lived and breathed it. That is all
Yeah.
that I wanted to do. And then at dance school, it was a musical theatre school. So we did ballet every day, jazz, contemporary, commercial dance, tap dance. So it was super full on. So you had to be pretty fit, keep on top of
Yeah.
this game. It was very competitive. And at the time, it was a way. When you want to be a dancer, you'll do anything to succeed.
Yeah.
And this was, I graduated 2012, so it was quite a long time ago now.
Okay.
Showing my age.
Still,
And
I think you're still younger than me, so that's fine. Yeah.
yeah, and it was definitely, I used to think fitness was I used to do fitness on the side of dance school
Yeah.
as a way to look good, to be honest, to fit in to be a dancer. So I picked up bad habits, bad eating habits, because I would have done anything to succeeded, and that was my environment at the time.
Okay.
So that's how I saw it. So we used to start ballet at 9 in the morning, and if you wasn't sweaty by when the teacher came in at 9 a.m., you got kicked out. She was like, "You need
Really?
to be
Okay.
warm before you start the class, because if you start the class cold, you're warming up in the class and you're not learning the technique." So
Yeah.
I'd be like running around the studio on the treadmill for 20 minutes, and I hated running.
Yeah.
Trying to get warm, trying to get sweaty before I started ballet because I didn't want to get kicked out. So then
Sure.
I used to hate running.
Well, I can imagine why, yeah.
And I've only now just got a little bit of a love for it. But at dance school, actually, we did do Pilates. So we did it twice a week. And I just really loved it. I
Yeah.
loved the teacher. And she was an amazing woman called Louisa, and she was actually South African. So sometimes when I say Pilates, I go Pilates. Oh. And it's such a bad accent.
That's very good.
Are you South African or Australian? And I'm like, no, it's just been ingrained in me.
Yeah.
So we used to do Pilates twice a week as part of our dance training to give us more strength, more range, more flexibility, more mobility. And yeah, and I just really loved it. So then I danced professionally until I was 27.
Okay.
I used to regularly gym pretty much every day, but again, mindset of aesthetics, what I need to look a certain way, I need to stay with it. And even sure. in the gym, I didn't really know what I was doing. I had some friends who were trainers, I'd ask them, and then I would just watch what other people were doing and try to put together some exercises, and not really, but I was training, I don't know, I didn't enjoy it. I was doing it because I felt like I had to do it.
Yeah.
That was my destination, and this is what I need to do to get to it.
So was you told by the dancing school that you needed to go to, you needed to put in that extra effort in the gym and in training? Because it sounds to me like there wasn't necessarily a program given to you either in terms of this is what you do outside of the dancing practice.
No, there wasn't. And they never told us to, but when everyone else is doing it,
yeah,
you're a lot of pressure to do it because you ultimately want to be the best. If there's one job going, you want it.
Yeah, sure.
And you'll do anything to get it. But there wasn't any structure. And this was 12 years ago. So nothing was really said. There was no Instagram. So there wasn't anything to follow unless you got personal training sessions. But as a dancer, like, I couldn't afford personal training sessions.
Sure.
So again, it's just like watching what other people were doing in the gym and just not really enjoying it, to be honest.
Yeah. So did you in a way then fall out of love with dancing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. I got to 27 and I was like, I just don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
I was just tired of it. And it wasn't decided in one day. I didn't just wake up. It was about like 2 years of getting knockbacks and just really being unhappy, to be honest. And I just thought, I've got to change. I've got to change something in my life, because dancing was my passion and what made me happy. And it was also my identity. And then it was like, well, what do I do now? If I don't dance, what do I do? Where do I go? And I decided to do a Pilates course. And this is quite interesting. So at the time, I was doing a bit more yoga because at the time, there was no Pilates studios near me.
Okay.
There was nothing online that I could follow.
Yeah.
There was a local yoga studio, so I'd go and do yoga, and I really enjoyed yoga. And that's when I started liking fitness again, because I was like, okay, this is a little bit more me. I enjoy doing this. I like the shapes that it makes. So I started doing that, and then I said one day to my parents, I'm going to do a fitness course because I like moving my body. It seems to make sense. And I sat down at my table and I was like, do I do Pilates? Do I do yoga? So I only remember Pilates from dance school.
Okay.
And I loved it. And then I chose Pilates and it was the best decision I ever done. I am now a yoga teacher, but I'm really glad that I done that. And so the push that took me to do that course, it's quite a nice story if anyone's thinking like, oh, should I do or should I not? I was working at the Excel Center.
Okay.
Scanning badges, like promo stuff. This and the course was like £2,000, and I only had a little bit of savings. And I was talking to this random person that I was working with, and we were scanning badges together. And I was like, I don't know if to do this course. I don't know if it's right for me. And he was like, it's an investment in yourself. Why would you not do it? And it was just like a light bulb just clicked in my head, and I was like, oh my goodness, why am I not doing this? It's a skill that I'm going to learn. So I went home and I booked the course. And I did a mat Pilates course. And as soon as I started, I was like, oh my goodness, I absolutely love this. Like, this is me.
Yeah.
This is me. I just took to it. And I think all the skills that I learned as a dancer, from like being creative and choreographing and having a bit of discipline and everything that I learned from a dancer, I could then channel it into Pilates. So yeah, as soon as I did it, I then started coaching and then just progressed all my skills. I took all different qualifications just because I like to always learn.
Yeah, that's good.
Always trying to be the best that I can. So that's how it started. And now, since doing Pilates and everything that I do. Like, I really love fitness so much. I love working out. So it's changed my perspective on it from not enjoying it when I was really young to now really enjoying it. And now I train myself and I train my clients for longevity. And I'm like, you need to love your body. Like, your body is amazing. And we only get one. And it's so important that we look after it. But I think where I had that journey of not always liking my body and like thrashing it in the gym, trying to like always push harder.
Right. Okay.
Where I've had that, now I'm like, oh my God, like, how did I used to think like that? And
yeah,
this is what is so important.
I think you're right, because I think the perspective, and even when I was training just in the gym before even working in education, in fitness, it was just a case of doing what I need to do to potentially more of a vanity project than anything else. And now it's changed to moving better and being stronger for that longevity, because I'm not getting any younger. But those goals are being achieved anyway, in terms of you do keep strong, you're aesthetically looking okay. So I think even though my perception of fitness has changed, I'm still achieving the goals that I was probably a little bit obsessed with when I was a lot younger, even still now. But it's just a different form of training, which I think most people, especially the younger people within fitness, don't necessarily appreciate until they're a little bit older. Because like you say, it's just a case of getting in the gym and doing what you need to do, more than actually like what actually works for me from a mobility point of view, strength point of view, but also a mental wellness point of view as well. It's really, really a good point that you're making there. As your training changed then over the years, in Pilates is, let's say, like your bread and butter, that's what you're passionate about, and then all the quality of movement. But your outlook on training, say if you had a one-to-one client that was just generally wanting to lose weight or tone up or a bit of a mixture, do you still look at the quality of movement first and foremost and then create a program around that? Or do you necessarily put them to another personal trainer if they don't necessarily want to move better, they just want to get into the weights or get on a treadmill? What's your outlook now in terms of the clients that you go for?
It's normally the clients that approach me. I normally get a lot of the clients I work with are a little bit older, and they have been doing a lot of weight training, and now they're starting to get niggles and injuries and pain and stiffness and tightness, and it's affecting their day to day. So generally, as a Pilates teacher, the people that I get to meet, so that's the people that I help and work with. If someone come to me and said, I want to tone up and lose weight, of course I can still work with them. But I also try to see the bigger picture of, okay, well, actually, I can see that their shoulders are a little bit rounded. How can I pull them back and down and open up their posture, but also get them toned and sculpted so they're feeling good within themselves?
Right.
That's also is when you do train, you do feel good within yourself, and it is nice to see results as well. So
yeah,
they both go hand.
For those that are listening, they don't know what Pilates is, would you mind just giving a quick overview of what that form of practice is for people listening?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I do like geek out a little bit on this. So
that's great. That's great.
I love this stuff. So I'll try and be as quick and broad as I can. But
take as long as you need.
It was developed by a man called Joseph Pilates in the early 20s. As a kid, he was quite sickly. He had asthma, rickets, and rheumatic fever, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
We're going to go with that anyway. It's right.
Yeah.
And he grew up in Germany, and he did a lot of boxing, gymnastics, skiing, and like diving. He was really good at it. And which is actually quite cool is within Pilates, you've got mat, you've got reformer and all the springs, the Cadillacs and et cetera. But he actually started because he was working in a World War II camp for internees who suffered from like wartime diseases and incarcerations. And he developed the method because he was trying to rehabilitate them and get the muscles working and the stimulus in the muscles, but they would be bedbound. So he started using the springs from the bed, et cetera, to give the resistance to help them exercise whilst laying down.
Okay.
It's so cool. Like,
yeah. I
honestly think the man was a genius. And then he moved to New York a little bit later, and he worked a lot with the ballet, and he would train a lot of the ballet dancers, especially if they were injured. They would go and see Joe, and he would help them with rehabilitation. So that's how it started. which is amazing. And then it's been passed down by generations and different variations of exercises. The six principles of Pilates are control, centering, concentration, breath, precision, and flow. So that's like the whole concept. And it's all designed around the spine and the pelvis, making sure that the pelvis is in correct alignment, and in the spine, any postural deviances that might be happening. So it's a big play on core strength, because that is our center. And then generally, if we've got a strong core and everything's in harmony, that's going to make the pelvis in neutral alignment, which is just going to set us up for success.
Yeah.
When there's too much stiffness or too much like looseness of a muscle, we're all connected. And then we start to get like little niggles and injuries. So it's a big thing on posture, core strength. And then as well as that, it really works on smaller muscle groups. So if you've done Pilates burn, it's going to get that tiny little muscle that you never knew you had, and it's going to get it good. It's all low impact, which is great. And like I said, it's just bringing that harmony within the body of strengthening and lengthening the muscles as well, and just working on muscle imbalances, balance, stability. And there's also a lot of flow to it and breath.
Yeah,
so that was a lot of information.
No, that's really good. It's really, really interesting, the story as well, because I didn't know how Pilates was created. And so that story is really, really interesting.
Yeah,
you mentioned, cool. Very cool. You mentioned the different forms of Pilates. Is there one in particular that you find more beneficial, you enjoy teaching the most?
Yeah, so with Pilates now, there's kind of two avenues. So there's the classical and then there's the contemporary. So classical is still the teacher that, so Joseph Pilates taught a group of trainers. They then taught a group of trainers. The method's been passed down because there wasn't videos. It's just what was said. It's been passed down. And then contemporary now is your reformers, like the body balancers, or if you've got like a red spring or blue spring, it's normally contemporary, where like the classical reformers have got four springs and they're all the same resistance. So like the machines are slightly different. But when you're in a classical studio, you would teach it the order of how Joseph Pilates would teach it. In the contemporary, you've got so much more creativity and freedom of movement. So things that aren't always classical exercises that you can put in, things, I don't know, like bird dog or like a donkey kick or any like side planks. But it's like, if it's still honoring the six Pilates principles, it still works. I actually learned contemporary first on the mat, and I mainly teach contemporary.
Okay.
I love a dynamic Pilates class because I also like to use all of my other knowledge. So everything that I know from being a personal trainer, from bar, from yoga, I just think movement is also entwined and connected. So I love to teach like a dynamic Pilates. I like to have some good pop tunes on and just have some fun with it. And I love having creativity to make up new flows. And you're like, oh, well, this exercise will go well with this. And then this is the progression. So if I want to get them to do this at the end of the class, how am I going to get them to that? So that's what I really enjoy as a teacher.
Okay.
I then, after doing contemporary, I went back and did a 600-hour full comprehensive classical Pilates. So learning the classical, all the equipment and the mat. And I did that with no intention to teach it. But I felt like if I wanted to be the best Pilates teacher I could be, I needed to know how the main man did it. I needed to have that information. So what I try to do is the languaging changes a little bit in classical. So I try to take some of the cues, the languaging and that information that I learned from classical, and I try to infuse it with my contemporary stuff. So I do a bit of a mix. So I prefer teaching contemporary. I'd say I really like doing classical.
So it all really depends on what day it is and how you're feeling. That's good that you enjoy all of it. If someone was brand new to Pilates and wanted to try it for the first time, is there any type of recommendation, or would you just say just pick the one that you like and then just go for it?
They're just so different. With classical, there's no music, there's a bit of a system, and your first sessions, you're learning the exercises. Where if you come and jump in a class with me straight away, we're going straight in, we're learning new moves, but it's very quick and dynamic.
Okay.
So it just depends what you're after. If you're looking as like a 10-year plan, maybe go a little bit more classical, or if you want to come and and train with me, then you can jump straight in.
Yeah. And is there any, do you have to be like a certain level of fitness to try it, or can anyone just walk in and give it a go?
Anyone can give it a go. And I think also this is why the method did branch off into two separate entities, because Joseph would only teach dancers or athletes or boxers. Like, he would only teach physically fit people because he was like, it's really tough.
Yeah.
But what they've done is within how the main exercise, they've like broke it down a little bit. So that's what we do more in contemporary, is break it down. So it really is for anyone. And that's not to say that classical is for advanced people. Again, they've broke the moves down, and then you can progress up. So yeah, it is really for everyone. And in a group class, how I especially teach is layers. So I might start an exercise off a little bit basic. So my beginners, anyone who's new to me can do that. And then I go, okay, if you're feeling good here, we're going to do this. Okay, if you're feeling good here, we're going to go further. And then, yeah, and then that's how I would always work a mixed class.
So there's always an opportunity to progress and regress and depending on where that client is.
Yeah, and also make it really clear at the start, like, if you need to take a little second, take it. Jump in when you feel ready.
So alongside Pilates, you're also a big fan of TRX. How did TRX suspension training, first and foremost, how did you find out about it? How did you get involved?
Actually, through a friend who did a lot of TRX. He took me on the TRX, and as soon as I did a first session, I was like, wow, this is really fun. And I really liked, it's actually, I find it quite similar to Pilates.
Yeah.
So I think that connection, it just felt good. I just enjoyed it.
Yeah. Was it that connection then that you particularly found valuable to you, in terms of, whilst it was something new, suspension training is different, but there was a lot of commonalities about it to make you think, oh yeah, I could make this work for my own training, also my client's training.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that it's body weight. At that time as well, when I first started doing Pilates, I didn't really do weights. I do weights now, but I love that it was body weight. I love the mindfulness, and I love that with a movement, when you can really find that mind to muscle connection.
Right.
When you have to think and working in isolation, I really enjoy that personally. I like to feel my muscles working. I love the all concept. Always working your core muscles, because again, in Pilates, you're doing that. Everything comes from your powerhouse. And it's the TRX motto, all core all the time.
All the core all the time. Well done.
All the time. And yeah, just the isolation. And I love the, you can explore movement.
Yeah.
It's not so rigid. You can be creative with it. And
absolutely.
I also found it a little bit humbling. First session, I was a little bit wobbly from muscle imbalances. And yeah, I love the variation of different things that you could do on it.
And from a suspension training and a Pilates view, have you integrated suspension training into Pilates practice, or vice versa for more strength-based training?
Absolutely.
It's good to know.
Yeah, I have. I do Pilates on the suspension trainer. And then within my gym, we have two TRX concepts. One's TRX strength and one is TRX sculpt.
Okay.
Sculpt is a fusion of Pilates and bar with strength work on the TRX. So they do work really well together. And I also work with them on my personal clients.
Yeah.
I love how you can... Again, I always feel like there's a bigger picture of like, okay, where do I want to get my client to? So there's a way that you can use the straps and Pilates. And if you're going to do it together, you can use the straps as a stimulus, like you would use with the reformer springs.
Okay.
And again, it's a way to progress. For instance, before I did TRX, I couldn't pistol squat.
Most of us can't until we started TRX, to be honest.
But yeah, I learned how to do it on the TRX. I got the feeling, and now I can do them in the center. And I think that's what's really good. And that's what I like to do with my clients as well, is to combo the both.
Right. Okay.
Or it's like, let's get this information here and then we can take it onto here. And they both work really well together.
So it's very similar to our education, in terms of then you're creating a standard and you're trying to maintain that standard, but are you doing it the opposite way? So in a sense, is the TRX suspension trainer making certain moves a little bit easier for clients that are new, and then are you taking them off the suspension, trying to do pure body weight, whether on a reform or not, or is it the other way around?
I think it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
You can. I love using the TRX because I think it's a great way to get the muscle connection.
Okay.
So like if you took on Pilates on the floor, like a swan dive, so you'd be lying on your front, your arms are in two 90 degree angles. You want to lift your head, your chest, your arms up, squeeze between your shoulder blades. That's going to work. Obviously your back muscles help improve your posture. And then say you got them to press the arms up and down over the head.
Yeah.
And you say to a client who's quite new, like, use your back muscles. It's like, how do I feel my back muscles? And it's like, okay, if I take them onto the suspended trainer, okay, facing the anchor point, take the back of the hands into the cradles, create resistance, pull the elbows down, press the arms overhead, keep pulling back in the straps. They're going to start connecting in their back muscles.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so now take that information and now let's put that back on the floor. So that's how I like to work it. I like to see it as a jigsaw puzzle and putting it all together. But then you can also use the TRX to advance exercises.
Yeah.
Now if their legs are suspended or if their feet are in the cradles, I've just increased the load.
Yeah.
So now I've made the exercise more difficult. So that it's a way that you can use them both.
Absolutely. And are you then, say, outside of the Pilates group classes that you're doing, you've mentioned the shoulder one at the beginning, which I think is a perfect warm-up stretch as well. So are you incorporating some Pilates-based movements into just a general one-to-one training, whether that's on a TRX or whether that's traditional, let's say, Pilates, mm-hmm. in terms of movement prepping that client? If they've been sitting down all day in the office and they're coming straight to you, ready to train, Is your warm-ups, let's say, any movement sessions evolved because of your now experience with Pilates, but then also TRX?
Yeah. Do you mean advanced as in?
As in, so if we go back to when I was a PT, the traditional warm-ups would be, right, you go on a treadmill for 5 minutes and then you go into the stretch area, which, and you do some static stretches. So thankfully, we've all moved on since then. So are your warm-ups and cool-downs now mainly around the Pilates-based movements, whether it's on the straps or, like you say, more contemporary or classical Pilates, because you're finding that actually activates the muscles that you need to activate? You are seeing where the client is in terms of their movements, from range of motion to adding strength base to that range. I mean, how has that evolved for you from a movement perspective?
Yeah, definitely. I do add in Pilates in the warm-up. Because you can see little things from what they're doing in a move.
Yeah.
So so the 100 is the Pilates first of the list in the mat reformer. It's when you've got your arms down by your side, your head and shoulders up, your legs are in tabletop and you're pumping the arms down.
Okay.
So it's like the iconic move, but you can tell a lot from that. So you can see if they're wobbling a little bit, their pelvis isn't anchored. So yeah. I know that their core's not switched on. Sometimes they say, oh, I can feel this in my neck. And again, that's because they're holding their head up with their neck and not their core.
Okay.
And if their legs are coming slightly in, then I know they're probably tight in the hips. So I would always give a couple of Pilates exercises to assess, especially a new client, of how I'm going to progress this session. And then I would do mobility. So also a lot of Pilates, it's all about the spine and the pelvis. So even if I give them a cat-cow and I'm like, okay, we need to work on extension or we need to work on flexion. So that's how I would look. And then I look at their hip mobility, maybe their shoulder mobility. And then you just start drawing together a plan in your head of okay, how do I want my client to feel? And you've got to think of it like in 3 months' time or 6 months' time and then keep making bigger goals. But how am I going to get there? So then you make a plan. And then within that, you progress it every couple of weeks or something like that. And then you can use your tools like the TRX and different equipment to build them up.
So we've talked about Pilates in quite detail and we can understand how beneficial it is. But why do you believe Pilates in specifically is essential for the more longevity of it in terms of a fitness routine and maintaining activity over the years as people get older? Why do you think Pilates is an essential form of practice?
It's definitely as I started teaching it that I really realized it is. It sounds a bit cringe, but I feel like this method came to me and I'm like, wow, this is incredible. As soon as I started it, And as soon as I started working with clients and I was getting the feedback from them, and then straight away I was like, wow, everyone needs to be doing this. Like, this is incredible. And it's when you get clients who say, oh, I've been working out with you and every morning I get a bad back. And since I've been training with you, I'm not in pain anymore. Like, wow, that's amazing. Like, you're not in pain. Like, because the ultimate goal is happiness. We want to do the things that we love for as long as we can.
Yeah.
So it's like, wow, if I can put someone out of pain, like, that's such a benefit into their life. So I think just because how many success stories I get off people, it just like gives me even more drive and passion to share the method. So yeah, that's why everyone should be doing it.
No, I mean, honestly, I keep saying I need to come to your class tonight, so I'm going to have to start doing it at some point. In your opinion, then, what are there any unique advantages of Pilates compared to other forms of exercise?
Yes, I think what's really unique about it is, if you take it back to Joseph Pilates, he has a quote. What is it? Let me have a little thing for it. But he works with the spine and the hips.
Yeah.
And there was this really nice analogy when I was doing my teacher training, and it was like, if you have like a broken plant pot, the sunflower's not going to grow. And it's like, if your plant pot it's stable, it's watered, then this lovely sunflower is going to grow. So I think because there's so much emphasis on the hip placement, pelvis alignment, and the spine, that is our main trunk.
Okay.
I think that's what makes Pilates so special, is the emphasis and the focus on that. I think it was like Joseph Pilates said, if your spine is stiff at 30, you're old. And if your spine is flexible at 60, you're young.
Okay.
So I like love that approach to it and your spine. And you'd never do a weight session and think, oh, I'm going to work my spine today.
Yeah, no, you don't. And that's very true, isn't it? That's very true. And I do like that analogy then of it's been a simple term. You use it or you lose it thing. So, and the hip is probably the one of the most common injuries that we have, especially in our industry, but even just in daily life. So I think even just whittling down, and Pilates is so many things, but even just whittling it down to the fact that, yes, it's going to improve your trunk if you keep on a regular practice, that automatically should be appealing to everyone, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You do get, I'm really talking about longevity, which is amazing, but you do also get amazing results. And working with clients, especially in lockdown, I just the online thing.
Sure.
All my before and after pictures, they'd all lost weight, toned up, looked amazing, feel amazing, great success. But what was so special extra for me is you saw their alignment change. If one shoulder or hip was slightly higher, it would drop and it would come in line. And you saw their like shoulders come back and down. And from the side view, you could see that they wasn't maybe so lordotic anymore. And you're like, it's That's the brilliant. Complete picture. It's got everything. So, yeah.
Has anyone come to you specifically because they have an injury or a disalignment, and they've either read or they've seen you on social media as an example, and saw that Pilates can really benefit whatever ailment they've got?
Yeah, definitely. And I do get a lot of people come to me and say, I'm really tight in my hips, they're hurting me every morning, or lower back. It's that common thing of hips and lower back because of jobs now. You know, people have to sit down a lot with work, which I understand they have to do. We have to work, but then the hips become tight, the hamstring comes weak, and it goes into the lower back. That's like a really common one that we do see. And I do see that one quite a lot. But yeah, I do get a lot of injuries come to me. And this is also why I'm so passionate about spreading Pilates, because I think if people can do it now before they do have any niggles or any injuries, then you're just setting yourself up for success, and you're just putting yourself in a better position to potentially not get them.
No, that's fantastic. We've talked about the movement and the strength, and what other benefits, let's say, beyond just the practice itself, let's say for physical well-being as a let's put that in a locket and put it aside for a second. Where else do you see Pilates benefit people for mental health? We've talked about injury prevention. Where do you see the extra benefits come from?
Yeah, so it's all about that mind to body connection. It focuses a lot on the breath. So we know when we sometimes we shallow breathe, but when we are actually taking nice deep breaths, we're getting more oxygen.
Yeah.
Calming down the nervous system. So there's all those benefits within that. And you just feel a lot more calm after you finish a session. I think it's a great way to, when you're on your mat and you're doing it, you're not really thinking about any maybe stresses or worries that you've got going on. So it's a chance to just really connect with your body, focus on the movement, because the movements can be quite tricky.
Yeah.
So you're thinking about what to do. So hopefully you're not thinking about the outside world, what's going on. So it just gives you that little time to zone out, listen to your body, move your body and feel good. And it, like I said, it's all about mind and mindful movement and the mind to muscle connection.
And for someone that's new, how often would you recommend going to, like, say, like a Pilates group session? It's not necessarily a one-to-one, mm-hmm. but when they're first starting out, and what would you say, like once a week to try it a little bit more as often as you can?
Yeah, I think to start, even if you did once a week, is great. To get a bit more benefits, you'd probably want to be doing two or three. But I do appreciate it is hard to fit in sometimes your workouts, group classes.
Yeah.
Then if you're doing other modalities, of course, your strength training, it can be difficult. So something's better than nothing. So even if you do one a week, for I don't know, or you do a YouTube video at home for 20 minutes,
yeah,
and just build it in. It's like those things when you don't want to do too much too soon and then become overwhelmed and then
stick
with it. But it's like anything in fitness or any habit that you want to create, just start it off small and then it will build and progress from there. And then the more you get to know the moves, I know everyone's gonna love it. And then
sure,
it
yeah,
more motivation to get into the classes.
And we may have mentioned this previously, but in terms of the individual needs of the person that is in a Pilates class, is it just a sense of you need to build up to those moves? Or is the Pilates, whether it's classical or contemporary, there are different, let's say, regressions in terms of, say, well, you may not be able to get into this move right now, but let's put you in this move because it's a lot easier on the core or the spine. Is there ways to regress it in that sense?
Yeah, there is definitely ways to regress the movement. Also in Pilates, especially in my classes, we use equipment. So you might use like the Pilates circle, the ball, small hand weights. So also you can like take the equipment out.
Yeah.
That will make it a little bit easier. But yeah, there is always a regression. And of course, I've always got a progression. But
of course,
so just for any beginners, please don't be scared. The coach will always look after you. And yeah, like I said, like if you want to take a second, jump back in. But yeah, there are always regressions to build you up for the exercise.
No, brilliant. And in the next few months and years, obviously fitness is always evolving. And whilst Pilates has been around for a long time, as you've mentioned at the start of the conversation, it has evolved to make it a bit more approachable, let's say. Do you see any trends, or do you feel that over the next few years, Pilates is going to change in a sense to make it even more appealing? Like you say, you've added music into yours. Do you see that coming more popular now? Where do you see Pilates going? Because in a lot of ways, we've talked about quality of movement because of the lifestyles that people have got. So in a sense, it's going back to traditional stuff. There's more an emphasis on strength training now because of longevity being really, really popular at the moment, which is great. Where do you see Pilates going in the next few years, or where would you like to see it go?
Oh, I feel like the last 2 years, Pilates has really taken off. So when I did my course, it was yoga. Everything was yoga.
Yeah.
And I think in the last couple of years, Pilates has really got the recognition, and it has gone a bit crazy, especially Reformer now. People are loving Reformers. There's so many studios popping up and they are really busy. So I would like to think it would keep going because it's not a fad, because it's got longevity.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes sense. It's got results. It's trial and tested. And so I would love for it to keep this hype and keep this pushing, because as I said, I feel like everyone should be doing some sort of Pilates in their training every week.
Yeah.
So I would love for it to get there. And then where it's going to go, oh my goodness, who knows?
Who knows? Maybe something in the pipeline with us, right? Maybe.
Maybe.
Can't say too much yet. There could be some exciting developments in the future. Yeah. So going back to that slightly, why do you think Pilates over the last few years, let's say, has become really, really popular now. Is it a social media thing? Is it certain people using it? Where do you, why has it got popular?
I think it is a social media thing. I think now a lot of the celebrities have posted it, like the Kardashians were posting it. And I think now people have seen that they've done it. They've seen the results. They've felt the results. They feel good afterwards. So it's all well and good at being promoted, but if it's not very good, it's not going to do very well. But if it is an amazing method and now it's getting promoted and the recognition, then people are going to hopefully stick with it and keep it going. But
That's
definitely from
great.
social media and celebrity endorsements, I
I
would
suppose
say.
that's it. Look, raise the appeal of actually becoming a Pilates instructor. Are you finding that as well? Say at BXR, excuse me, you've got, let's say, in inverted commas, your traditional personal trainers and a group trainers. Are you finding now that the trainers that you work with or the trainers that are starting to get into more Pilates, even if it's more just movement based from a warm up point of view, are you finding now that people are broadening their skill range, let's say?
Absolutely. I would say so many of the trainers that I know who are personal trainers, yoga teachers, they're all now getting their Pilates qualification.
Brilliant.
Definitely, because the longevity and also working with clients are asking about it. And it's just such a great addition if you are a personal trainer. We do a lot of strength work. If you can also do some Pilates with your client, you're giving them the best of both. So you're going to be able to work with that client for a longer time, and you're going to be able to give more variation. And I think that's also why it is good as a coach to always have different modalities underneath your belt, because you can give that versatility and that range to your clients. And then, like I said at the start, with I like to infuse all the information that I have. So when I go to my client, even if I'm supposed to do Pilates and I'm thinking, actually, I think a bit of TRX might do better here with them. Just jump on the TRX for a bit and not to have that like black and white approach, because as we know, TRX is black and yellow. You need to have that approach of every client is different, every body is different. You've got your goal, you want to get them there. How do you get them there? And that's your job as a coach, to do it in the best way that you can with all the skills that you've got.
That's well, really well said. You've mentioned now that you've really been into your personal development and your education, continuing education. Is there anything you're currently studying or any part of the fitness wellness industry that you're quite interested in at the moment that you're just reading about or just generally interested in?
I'm always interested in everything, Nathan. My
Well, that's
brain
good.
and stuff. I love learning. I'm really into breath work at the minute. I love meditation.
Very good.
I do meditation every morning because I think it's a great thing for your brain, for your mind. And when you look at fitness, it's under wellness. And fitness is one part. So wellness and how you look after yourself, you talk to yourself, how you are mentally, I think is so important. That's something else that I'm also really interested in. And then just retreats, working.
Retreat,
And I think retreats are amazing. You know, you get to go away and do some fitness in the sun, but it's also like a way if maybe you don't know how to get consistent with a workout routine, or it's a great way to immerse yourself for 5 days and then try to take some of those habits and bring them back with you to just help you in your everyday life like skills, I guess.
And at the time of recording, you've got one coming up in the next few weeks. So do you just want to talk about that and tell a little bit about what people can expect at your retreat?
Yes, I'm so excited for it. So it's in, I keep saying this in a really English accent and I keep getting told off. I think it's in Spain.
Okay.
I'll quickly go over that.
Just go with Spain because, yeah,
Yes, in
that's fine.
Spain. And it's I've got a place, a venue which is stunning, and they have got reformer beds. So it's going to be a combination of mat Pilates, reformer Pilates, and a little bit of yoga. And then
Brilliant.
in the Pilates, I'm going to do some classical mat and dynamic mat Pilates as well. So I want people to come away with some real skills and confidence in it as well. And again, I've got a mixed ability group. I think it's really special when people are at different stages of their fitness journey, but we're all the red thread tying everyone together is that they want to come there to learn, to do fitness, and then you can help each other out and grow. So I think that's really special. So that's
no, I wish you all the success with that. And I'm sure it will be, because you're a very, very good instructor. So Jolie, it's been a pleasure chatting to you. Thank you for, there's a lot about Pilates that I didn't know about. I'm sure the listeners will as well. If people want to follow you, if people want to know where they can attend your classes or see you digitally, where can people go?
Okay, so my Instagram is Jolie Morris, with no hyphen. If you want to come and join me in person, it will be at my gym, BXR, and I teach in the Marylebone branch in London. If you want audio app, then there is an audio app called With You. So I'm on that as a Pilates coach. And then also, if you have got a Sky Glass TV and you do have the camera on your TV as well to work with you.
I'll make sure I put all of that in the show notes as well and links if anyone does want to give you a follow, which I fully recommend, because you do some fantastic videos really showcasing Pilates, but also TRX work as well. So definitely recommend people follow you. But yeah, just want to say thanks very much, because it was a really enjoyable conversation. So I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
As we wrap up another insightful episode of the TRX Procast, we wanted to extend a huge thank you to our guest, Jolie Morris, for sharing her expertise and passion for Pilates and TRX suspension training. We hope you found this discussion both informative and inspiring, and now that you're equipped with valuable insights to elevate your fitness journey. If you enjoyed this today's episode, don't forget to subscribe to the TRX Procast for more engaging conversations with leading experts in the world of fitness. And be sure to leave us a review and share your feedback. We love hearing from our listeners. Any particular guests that you want, any questions or topics, please feel free to add your comments in the show notes or get in touch with me via my Instagram at NathanTRX, and we'll be sure to get through as many as we can. Remember, whether you're hitting your mat for a Pilates session or strapping into your TRX suspension trainer, every step you take towards bettering your health and well-being is a step in the right direction. So keep moving, keep challenging yourself, and keep striving for greatness. Thank you for tuning into the TRX Procast. Until next time, see you on the next episode.